Say goodbye to your credit card rewards. Greedy corporate mega stores, led by Walmart and Target, are pushing for a law in Congress to take away your hard-earned cash back and travel points to line their pockets. The Durbin-Marshall credit card bill would enact harmful credit card routing mandates that would end credit card rewards as we know it. If you love your credit card rewards, tell your lawmakers, hands off my rewards. Tell them to oppose the Durbin-Marshall credit card bill.
Craig is usually a fan of water cooler talk, but it's draft season, and that's all anyone wants to talk about. The Athletic has loads of articles about this year's draft, but Greg doesn't have The Athletic, so now he's filling up his water bottle in the bathroom sink, which, to remind you, is the sink people use after they use the bathroom. Get The Athletic and get the info you need to speak draft fluently.
Hey there! Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower-than-low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Welcome to the Situation Room. Welcome
to the Situation Room.
Hey, everybody. Welcome back to another episode of the Situation Room, and we are excited. I'm here with my co-host, Gabe Ferguson. You guys can check us out on Twitter. He's at Gabe Fergie. I'm at BSL Jordan Co. Our podcast is hosted on filmstudyravens.com. Check it out. Ken does some amazing work there at Film Study Ravens. He's all kinds of great content from him as well. But we are here this week because we got a win, Gabe. This team put a solid game together against the Titans, and I think our butts were a little clenched when this all started, but when it all settled down, it wasn't particularly close for this Ravens team.
Yeah. I think we all were seeing the same nightmare come flash before our eyes again. And then the Ravens settled down and they got back into their groove and they started, you know, doing what they do best. They strung together some drives, some long drives, and the run game looked a little shaky at first, but they got it working. And overall, we had what I thought was a pretty dominant performance by the Ravens. They had some issues a little bit in the first couple of drives, but they settled in, like I said, and the defense really stepped up after that first long touchdown drive. And after that, the Titans couldn't figure out how to get anything going. And, you know, the Ravens just were able to keep the ball moving and really just get out in front and not look back.
Yeah, and as we talk about this game a little bit, I think we'll probably go over some of the gaffes or mistakes or the silly things that happened in this game that I think kept the score a lot closer than it was. But all in all, I thought the Ravens had a really good approach to this game and were pretty successful. You know, the one area where they weren't successful was trying to run between the tackles. And it seemed predominantly as though the Titans were not going to let the Ravens run between the tackles. I think you have to stay true and honest at some point to trying a little bit of everything. But I think the Ravens should have given up a little bit sooner on some of those runs up the middle. The Titans were just essentially flooding every single gap. They were doing all kinds of stuff, and we'll talk about that. But they were doing all kinds of stuff to essentially prevent the runs that were going to happen in the middle of the field. But you take some of that away and you take some of the mistakes away, and the Ravens really blew the doors off the Titans in this game, even though that's not what the score says. I'm pretty excited because we get the opposite of what we had early on in the season, where we saw the Ravens winning by a lot, but not putting complete games together, not playing four quarters well together. And I think you could argue they didn't play well in the first quarter in this game, but just not putting complete games together and still walking away with really big margins of victory. In this case, I think the Ravens had a good game plan, relatively executed relatively well, and won by a much closer margin.
Yeah, there's a couple of points I'd like to make, but real quick, I just want to look at some of the box score numbers from this game. And if you look at that, it kind of does indicate kind of the dominance that the Ravens had. So they basically outgained the Titans by 200 yards. The Ravens had 400 yards of offense, 401 yards. The Titans had 209 yards of offense by the Titans. One of the best offenses in the NFL this season, only put up 209 yards of offense. They only had 12 first downs. The Ravens had 22. The Titans were 4 for 12 on third down conversions. The Ravens were 7 for 13 on third down conversions. And yards per play, the Ravens were 6.3 and the Titans were 4.3. A 2-point difference in yards per play is massive. That's a huge difference. The Ravens really, really, really handled the Titans in this game. And like you said, the box score, final score doesn't look like that, but there was a missed field goal by Justin Tucker. There was that fourth down conversion that they should have completed that the BS OPI was called on. Those two plays happened, then maybe that's looking like a 17-point victory instead of a 7-point victory. So there's a lot of things that could have gone better for the Ravens, but all things considered, they put up a huge, huge performance here.
It's kind of fascinating to me as we're as I'm also looking at the box score here with you. You know, it's incredible that Tennessee had the ball for 26 minutes and 22 seconds, considering they only ran 40 something total plays, I believe. I think one of the part of the Titans game plan, and I think that this is if the Ravens go on some kind of crazy run from here, I think that they're going to handle other teams better. And I think part of the Titans game plan is essentially, like, more than anybody, is to basically suck all the time out of the game as much as possible and then try and, like, force a team like the Ravens, but any team that they're playing, into making mistakes during that time, and then cutting loose for the big plays. It's just really surprising to me that the Ravens didn't have more time of possession when it was all said and done, in the stats that we were just talking about. And so I think the Titans have it just makes me think in this moment that the Titans have a really unique game plan and strategy. And there are things about their team that I don't think any other team and remaining in the playoffs is similar to. And I think that's to the Ravens' advantage as well.
Yeah. And one of the things that the Ravens had going for them in this game, and it's not something that they've had as much this season as they had last year, but they had a lot of explosive plays, and it was in the passing game and in the running game. In the running game, was mostly Lamar with some of the pickups he had with his legs, but he also had a number of pass plays that were really nice in this one. And his total yards were not that high. He only passed 479 yards, and that's not something that looks super impressive in the box score. But he also only had 24 attempts. You know, 7.5 yards per attempt. That's not bad. Like that's basically on par for his career average. But they were just able to get those kind of chunk yards when they needed them, and it wasn't something that they were really putting together these, you know, long strings of plays, 12, 15 play drives that we've seen at some points this season. I think the drives were much faster for the most part, and it's because they were picking up, you know, 10, 12, 15 yards at a time, which is something you really like to see. And it kind of brings me back to something that I want to talk about in this game, because the Ravens did start out slow. Obviously, they went 3-and-out on their first drive. The second drive was the interception on a deep pass from Lamar Jackson. I thought it was a good play call, but the ball was just not put where it had to be. But then after that, they really started doing something differently in their approach. Starting in the third drive and then continuing on more so in the second half, the Ravens really started opening up the game when they started passing on first down, which is something that I've been preaching this entire season, and they haven't been doing. They've been running the ball over 60% of the time on first down. They finally kind of put that in the other side and passed closer to 60% of the time. And because of that, they were able to just get these easy completions because, like you said earlier, the Titans were around the line of scrimmage. They were around where the Ravens were because they didn't want to allow these running plays to happen. So when the Ravens adjusted to that after a couple of drives, they started opening up the game because they were able to get these, you know, easy pickups on first down, whether it's to Marquise Brown or whether it was to, you know, Mark Andrews. They didn't play action, but it was a huge improvement on what we've seen. And that encourages me a lot because it shows that Greg Roman is paying attention. You know, he's not going to be so stubborn that he's going to try running the ball on first down every single time. They knew that this game had to be won, and they realized that the Titans were going to try and stuff them on first down runs. So they opened it up a little bit, and they were able to get ahead of things by doing that.
Yeah, I would pick one slight nit with what you're saying, because I think you're 100% spot on. The Ravens need to hold teams accountable that are going to put guys into the box. We talked about it on the podcast last week. There were plays in the first game against the Titans where they put 9 guys in the box. Like the Titans were willing to flood the box and dare the Baltimore Ravens to run into it. And so the Ravens needed to have another option to that. I think it felt like the Ravens made a second half adjustment and that opened things up, because first of all, the Ravens had 9 plays that they ran in the first quarter, which is ridiculous. And a couple of those were a couple were very self-inflicted errors. And then the Titans just kind of did that thing where, you know, 6 minutes off the clock on a 10 play drive. Like that's taking up almost all the time on every single play that you possibly can. They put 2 decent drives together and poof, there goes an entire quarter. You take that away though, and you take away the 2-minute drill, which was its own debacle. And the Ravens actually had a touchdown and a field goal in between that, and then got right into the second half. So if you take away the first 2 drives, which were super ugly, and you take away the 2-minute drill, which is super ugly, and you can't necessarily do that, but let's say you take those things away, you know, and then you take the touchdown, the field goal, the touchdown coming right back out of it in the second half. You know, I think there was the Ravens' plan all along to some extent, and that they knew what they were going to get. It's just the drop from Andrews, the interception from Lamar just prevented them from being able to showcase that. And once they were able to string some plays together, they were able to stay on the field and you know, really put some pressure on those guys.
Yeah, I think you're probably right, because even in that second drive of the game where, you know, Lamar Jackson threw that interception, the first play of that drive was a pass to Brown where they got a 9-yard gain, and then they were able to pick up an easy first down on second down because they like to run on second down when second is short, which I'm going to harp on every single time they do it. But, you know, the second and short play, it really should have been the play where they took the deep shot probably instead of the first and 10. But then on first and 10, they did play action and took a deep shot, which is something that, you know, they've done at times this year. And honestly, like, they've had a couple interceptions off those plays, so it's hard to say they're super effective. But I still like that aggressiveness.
Both against the Titans.
Yeah, I think against the Jaguars too. But you know what? I still like taking those shots. And sometimes they're going to not work out. And this one was just like a bad throw. I think it just wasn't where it was supposed to be. And Lamar said as much after the game. But you know, if you take that away and you go with the process, right? And I think that's the main takeaway here is that the Ravens decided that they're going to flip the script a little bit. They're going to be a little bit more unpredictable on first down, and they're going to make life easier for their quarterback by not putting him in a lot of third and longs, because, you know, it would have been very easy for this game to get out of hand if they had done that run pass kind of thing. And honestly, if we're going to talk about run pass, we can talk about the Titans, because that's what they did. And it kind of played into the Ravens' hands because they were able to shut down the run on first down, on second down, and then put the Titans in third down situations. And they did a good job on third down situations. And that was kind of the difference in this game, in my opinion.
Yeah, I mean, I think we've talked enough about the Ravens' offense. Obviously, it's going to be a focal point. Lamar is going to be a focal point. Monkey is off his back in that sense. But look, this game was won by the Baltimore Ravens defense this week. Hands down, zero questions asked. This is one of those games where you could have had Trent Dilfer and Jamal Lewis together, and I think the Ravens are still going to find a way to win this game because the defense played so well.
Yeah, I mean, this was just so what they did, I think, in a lot of ways was pretty simple. They didn't really dictate so much as they just let the Titans kind of do their thing with their heavy personnel. The Titans run a lot of 21. You know, fullback on the field, or a lot of 12 with 2 tight ends, and the Ravens counter that with their base package, and they just had 7 or 8 in the box, and they played really, really sound run defense, and they kind of didn't ever allow Henry to get going. The longest run he had in the entire game was 8 yards, and the Ravens just played better up front. They didn't allow the Titans to push them around in the run game, and they just held firm, and they... you're right. It wouldn't have mattered who's running the ball. There just wasn't anywhere to run, and they didn't miss tackles, and they played sound football, and this is what you expect from the Ravens when they invest in their run defense like they did. When you bring in a guy like Calais Campbell, when you bring in a guy like Derek Wolfe, when you still have Brandon Williams up the middle, you would expect them to be one of the better run defending teams in the NFL. And I think they went out and showed that today.
Yeah, you know, the credit, I think, in the run defense this week, and I think the interior guys that you just named all played well. Campbell, by my eye, and I'm not looking at the snap counts right now, seemed to still be playing a little bit less than I thought he might have in this game overall. But that just might be selective memory. But look, this game was won actually by the linebackers. The edge defenders, I don't know who got in their heads, but somebody got in these guys' heads before they came into this game, and they said, you guys are getting beat on the edge by tight ends. You can't let that happen. Matt Judon, you cannot be beaten by a tight end in this game. Do not let a tight end beat you in run blocking. Pernell McPhee, you can own these tight ends on the ends. Do not let them get outside of you. Push them back into the backfield. Seal the gap. Let the defensive end, the kind of the third end there in the five tech, push his guy into you. Hold your ground. Let the gap evaporate, and then let somebody behind them flow through. The other thing I thought the defensive line did really well in this game is that they played through the blocks. I think that there's a tendency for defensive linemen to want to try and like engage their blocker, shed, and then find their way to the running back and to actually make the tackle and make the stop. And those are highlight stops whenever those kind of things happen, but they're not necessary. If you can maintain your block and play through it, not let the Titans in particular do these combo blocks where a second guy he'll block a guy and then kind of release when he thinks he's by the play so they can get up to the second level and take that guy away. The Ravens took that away this game because they blocked through the primary block and they didn't let those guys get to the second level. They just held their ground. They were stout in their gaps. And collectively they said, okay, we're going to clean this up and we're not going to let these guys get to the second level. And that's going to help us stop Henry. And it worked.
Yeah. And the thing about the Titans run game is they're kind of in the Kubiak Shanahan line of run offense where they do a lot of wide zone, and they pretty much did that the entire game, and they never really deviated from that. They didn't kind of do any interesting wrinkles. They didn't do any kind of, you know, reverses or motions to their wide receivers. They kind of kept it very simple, and there wasn't very much creativity, and they just kind of were like, well, our 2,000-yard rusher has done this all year, and we're just going to keep feeding him in the same exact manner. And the Ravens defended it. Like, it was with that, when you don't have any new kind of change to it, it got stale. And the Ravens have the guys up front that can handle that. They have, I mean, we've talked about the defensive line and the outside linebackers. I think Pernell McPhee, like you mentioned, had a fantastic game, both especially setting the edge. I don't know if he led the team in tackles. He did. He led the team in tackles in this game, Pernell McPhee. And he's been, you know, one of their better pass rushers on a limited basis. But in this game, he was really used as a run stopper. And he did a phenomenal job at that. I think he had a couple big hits on Derrick Henry like early on. And like Henry never really got it going. And he's a big reason why. And I thought Judon, like you said, also, he kind of stepped up. He played really well as a run defender. That's something that we've harped on him for years. He's never been a super stout guy on the edge, but he had a great game. And they didn't allow Henry to get going. He never had a carry over 8 yards. So most of the carries were for 2 or 3 yards. I mean, 18 carries, 40 yards. Like, come on.
I've got to go back and look at the previous Titans game from this year and the playoff game from last year. But my hunch is that the tight ends were beating the outside guys on those plays. And that was what was kind of allowing and opening up the success there. It was widening that C gap pretty wide. And then the interior guys would release and get up to the second level. And then that's what would let Henry get through those gaps. And McPhee and Judon, we can put a highlight reel together, just did not let those guys on the edge get anything. And that's part of why they were able to get into the backfield. That's part of why they were able to get those hits. There were times where there was a play where McPhee literally just threw a tight end to the ground and then ran and tackled Henry. And that's what should be happening. I mean, your ends should be doing that. And it seems like that's what the approach the Ravens wanted from those guys. They wanted to be physical at the end, you know, and keeping that point of attack there and keeping Henry funneled into the middle of that defense. But, you know, Patrick Queen also played, I think, a really good game. And quietly so. I mean, he did have a terrible play on kind of that crosser where he needs to be able to help and take that away. But even if he doesn't do that, I think that Tannehill can kind of loft it over his head. That receiver was running open anyway, so it's misplayed by him. But I think that may have been undefendable anyway, the way the Ravens had decided to try and defend that play. But I thought Patrick Queen played really well in run support, staying in his lane, staying in his gap, playing kind of in between there and forcing Henry to kind of try and come back and run through him. But I also thought he played a really physical game. There are a couple times where he had some pretty big hits, I thought, on a few guys in this game. And it was nice to see Patrick Queen step up and have a good game, especially when they needed one against a guy like Henry.
Yeah, one of my takeaways from the Ravens defensively was their personnel usage. And I mentioned they were in base a lot, but the players that they had active and the players that they had on the field was interesting because they actually had Harrison out there quite a bit, Malik Harrison. And he's someone who's kind of been in and out of the lineup. He normally plays around 15, 20 snaps a game. I think he was a little above that. And Fort was kind of only out there mostly on passing plays. And then Queen was out there for most of the snaps at linebacker. He was off for a few snaps as well. But then at outside linebacker, they had Ward, Jihad Ward, as kind of one of the rotational defensive end / outside linebackers. And, you know, I thought he played well as well. He had that one really nice play where he got in the face of Tannehill and batted the pass and almost had an interception there, honestly, and then was able to take down Tannehill, who stupidly caught the ball. That was, you know, I think a really big play actually in the large scheme of things, because I think the Ravens had just scored on that. They either tied it at 10 or they just scored a field goal. I forget, but I think they had just tied it, and the Tennessee could have obviously driven down the field, but they put them in a 2nd and 20 right off the bat, and they went 3 and out on that because of that play. So, you know, just having those kind of plays that really set back an offense, and you know that doesn't count in the stat sheet like a sack would, but essentially has the same effect. So there's a lot of players that the Ravens had out there that were just playing at their best, put in position to succeed, and they did just that.
Yeah, and the Ravens were really good on third down in this game. You know, we haven't seen that as much, but it seemed like the Titans were not going to try and spread the Ravens out. They weren't going to try and kind of zip and throw the ball all over the field. And that's understandable given their kind of game plan and their personnel. But for the most part, the Ravens forced the Titans to make really good throws in those situations. And I thought the combination of the pressure packages as well as the play by the secondary really made that happen. And I think it's really easy to look at Marlon Humphrey and the first quarter of this game, which I mean, we can just put the first quarter of this game in a dumpster, light it on fire and forget about it. But it's really easy to look at Marlon Humphrey's performance in that quarter and say, oh, well, he had a bad game or was going to have a bad game. But the first completion to A.J. Brown was just, I mean, that was a phenomenal throw and a phenomenal catch by A.J. Brown and by Tannehill and Brown. And Marlon Humphrey is running on Brown's hip on that play. And he is there. His hand is up. I mean, I don't know what more you could ask for from a defender. Now, the next play is this little crosser where Brown just gets away from Humphrey. And that's a play that you can't have happen. I put that one on him. But beyond that, I thought Humphrey played actually a pretty good game. He broke up a big pass right after the Ward play that you were talking about to not let them get to kind of 3rd and 10 on that drive right after the Ravens had tied the score. And otherwise, you know, we didn't really hear or see his name otherwise. And the Ravens kind of kept everything underneath and kept everything in check. I think there were a couple times where Tannehill was looking down the field and it wasn't there for him. And so the Ravens just, you know, this was maybe because the defense is healthier than it's been in a while. But this felt like the kind of Wink Martindale called game that we've been looking for 10 weeks for some amount of time. And maybe personnel has everything to do with that.
Yeah. I think having everyone available is definitely helpful because the Ravens have been, you know, knocked up all year and they basically had their entire defense healthy for this game, aside from Tavon Young, who was obviously lost very early in the season. But I completely agree with you. This was a really, really good game. Even though the Ravens didn't have the big like sack numbers, they were getting a lot of pressure on Tannehill. He was underdressed a lot. He had to kind of get rid of the ball before he probably wanted to on several occasions. And I completely agree with you on Humphrey. Even, you know, the touchdown he let up, I think that was clearly an offensive pass interference. And even that play that you mentioned where, you know, he was guarding Brown in the slot and it was kind of like a crosser and crossing route. That's like almost an impossible route to cover when he doesn't have any help underneath. He's basically got a two-way go or three-way go, basically trying to guard one of the most physical and like best wide receivers in the NFL. And he wasn't like letting him wide open, but, you know, that's going to be an advantage receiver, you know, 10 times out of 10. And any single coverage on like a slot guy is going to be, and a slot guy who's super good, like AJ Brown, is going to be very difficult. So I'm not going to give him crap. That was probably the most separation that he allowed Brown to have on him in the entire game. So I completely agree with you. I thought Humphrey played phenomenally well. The entire secondary, honestly. It was such a good performance. And getting back to the Ravens' effectiveness on defense on third down, they basically were tasked with man coverage on almost every single third down. And I think the Titans didn't get one first down conversion running the ball every single time they passed it.
No third down conversions.
They had a fourth down sneak with Tannehill. But they were passing on pretty much every third down, even some third and shorts, and which is kind of remarkable to consider. I think they went for one third and short and they got stuffed. And that was all because the Ravens were phenomenal in coverage. And it wasn't just Humphrey. It was Peters. It was Jimmy Smith. It was their, you know, the linebackers doing their jobs. It was the safeties doing their jobs. Everybody was dialed in and focused, and they knew exactly what they were doing. And it was really, really impressive. And I think this is the kind of defensive effort that you kind of expected from the Ravens this year. This is what I was expecting when in the offseason I said, you know, the Ravens could have the best defense in the NFL. And statistically, they did have one of the best defenses in the NFL, even if they didn't get there with some of the stats. But overall, like, this is the performance that they're capable of if they play at their highest level.
Yeah, the Titans had one first down conversion in any down running the ball the entire game. And it was on the last drive when there was a quarterback sneak on fourth down. That was the only time that a first down was granted to the Titans running the ball in that entire game. That is a phenomenal statistic and an absolute tribute to what we saw from that third down defense, but also from, I think, some of the fear that the Titans had about how good the Ravens were defending the run. I think that some of those, you know, those short yardage runs, they were looking to pass because, one, I think they were trying to set the Ravens up, but two, I think that they weren't seeing it as being successful like they usually do. And it wasn't easy to just kind of line it up and run it and stuff it in. And we saw some really big plays. I mean, Derek Wolfe had the really great sack on the stunt, you know, on one of the third downs. Deshaun Elliott with the ball that he separated in the one play I thought was really good. There were a couple other kind of moments where the Ravens just on third downs, they just weren't going to relent and they weren't going to let it get away. And they seemed really focused. And so I just hope that focus carries over, you know, to these next few games that are coming up. But, you know, it's a performance that we haven't seen from this Ravens defense in some time.
Yeah, it's definitely good to see because I think it's fair to say that the Ravens defense, you know, aside from that Week 17 performance where they just dominated the Bengals, they kind of had slipped a little bit down the stretch. They had let up some uncharacteristic plays. And, you know, the run defense was kind of shoddy at times. But none of that showed up this week. Their defense was absolutely dominant, and I was so impressed. And you know, you mentioned some of the players that, you know, and some of the plays that were impressive. I want to talk real quick about that Elliott play where he broke up. I think it was a third and two, and yep. This was one of the few third down plays where the Ravens actually weren't in man. I think they were in, it looked like a cover three, and I think that Elliott had kind of a robber. It was like a robber, and he kind of just saw the guy coming open. I think it was Jonnu Smith, and he just, like a bullet or like a rocket, he was there. He got there right when he had to with the ball getting there, and he just laid the lumber on Jonnu Smith. And Smith obviously, you know, was separated from the ball immediately. Didn't convert the third down. I think this was a really, really key play as well because the next play, the Titans punted, and this was on the Ravens 40-yard line. So they could have easily, if they converted that, they could have taken it down and scored there. But for some reason, they decided, maybe because they had been so ineffective on third and short, that they weren't going to try and convert on that fourth and short. And the Ravens got, you know, the ball right back on a possession where it looked like the Titans might have been able to, you know, make some noise there.
I couldn't believe the Titans punted the ball there.
Yeah.
That's like the biggest chicken, you know, punt of all time. I mean, maybe not all time, but like I was stunned that they punted the ball there. You know, Baltimore at least seemed like they had some momentum. Yeah, they had gotten that three and out because like just before that, I think, which was more on the Ravens than it was on the Titans. And I just couldn't. I was really surprised when they did that.
Yeah, I was surprised too, especially because, you know, they hadn't been doing so well on offense after that first drive, basically, or after that second drive, and they were down in Ravens territory, and they didn't know when that might happen again. But I think what they were thinking was, you know, they have one really good punters in the game, and he had pinned the Ravens a couple times. He had done some really good job, and they thought maybe they would be able to pin them inside like the 5-yard line or something from there. But he actually had one of his worst punts, and it was only like a 23-yard punt. The Ravens got the ball back, and that, you know, I think that was one of the deciding key tipping points in the game right there.
Yeah, I'm trying to decide if I thought that punt was worse or Pittsburgh punting in the second quarter of the evening game. Like, same kind of story, same-ish spot on the field. I mean, even if you pin them, you're still only gaining 30 to 35 yards of field position at best. And so, you know, I guess that's why that surprised me. Plus, they had just kind of gotten gifted a miss kick by Tucker. You know, and I think it's worth pointing out right here, you know, we're talking a little bit about the defense, but a confluence of things seemed to go against the Ravens in this game. I think that the officiating was really poor. They definitely missed the push off by AJ Brown on Marlon Humphrey. Like, that has to be called. Like, if a defender does that, then you're going to see, you know, and makes an interception, you're going to see a call for pass interference 10 times out of 10. They've got to be able to make that call. The Derek Wolf roughing the passer call, where he didn't even wrap up and he just kind of ran into him, the Willie Snead, like, block with his butt, like, kind of thing. That was not smart by Snead, because the play was way out in front of where it needed to be for him, and he wasn't really going to influence whether or not it made a first down. I think some of that is instinctual, but that certainly is not as bad as some of the other pass interferences you'll see. There was a big third down conversion for the Titans before the A.J. Brown touchdown, and you basically see A.J. Brown put his arms around Marcus Peters to free the receiver to come underneath him and basically prevent Board from being able to move through that space, right? And so, like, all of those calls combined, I think, led to kind of some poor officiating. You saw Justin Tucker slip on that kick. That's a kick that he makes. I think if he doesn't slip, he makes that. We're talking about a kicker that slipped and missed the kick by inches, right? Like, that's how good Justin Tucker is at what he does. And then you saw kind of the Ravens out of their element kind of in that first quarter, where you see Lamar just kind of throw the ball up to nobody. You see Andrews drop that one pass. It just felt like things weren't in sync in those moments. And all those things, that seems like almost everything that could have gone wrong went wrong over the balance of this game. And yet we still see the Ravens win by this wide margin. And I think a lot of that is attributed to this total defensive performance that we're talking about.
Yeah, I mean, I think if you look at the stats after just that one drive that the Titans had to score a touchdown, it's like, it's just so dominant. Like, the yards per play, like, everything, it was just the Ravens just completely owned them. And, you know, it was really a team effort. I think everybody really played well. You know, I had Matabike on a few plays that he hit a few nice stuffs in the run. He had a batted pass. I thought he played really well. You know, I thought Ngakoue had a few really nice pressures. He almost had a strip sack. He was a few inches away from getting a strip sack on one of the drives that the Titans got down into the red zone. And I thought, you know, he didn't have much in the stat sheet, but as a pass rusher, I think he really made some noise. And then I think Judon had a nice all-around game. He had a tackle for loss. That was nice. He had some pressures as well. So, like, I think, you know, you could look at every single player on the Ravens defense and say that they had a significant contribution in this game. And that just goes to show you the kind of focus that they had, I think, going into this one. And they didn't want to get embarrassed again by the same team. And they really wanted to show up and really, you know, make the city of Baltimore proud.
So let's talk about Marcus Peters and let's talk about the logo. I thought also played a pretty good game or a very good game overall. He was locked in on that pass from Tannehill, whether or not he was going to pick it or not. He was certainly going to break it up or try and make a play on that ball. He saw what was happening and what was going on with it. But I think the big question is, what do you think about what they did on the logo?
I thought it was great. I loved it. I don't think it should have been a taunting call. They weren't like making direct fun of anybody on the Titans. It wasn't like in their face. Players go and celebrate in the end zone after every single turnover. How come you can't do it on midfield? It makes zero difference. I don't get why that's a taunting penalty. I think that's another example of the referees kind of sticking it to the Ravens. So maybe you don't have to do that, but clearly that was something that they had planned if things were going right. So I love to see it. And at that point in the game, it didn't really matter. It was pretty much going to be over either way, I think, but I think it was still a crap penalty.
Yeah, you know, my initial reaction was that I also thought that it was kind of a BS penalty. But after going back and watching it a second time, when I rewatched the game in slow-mo, it was pretty taunt directive. It was not like a team celebration out on the Titans logo. Like, I think if they were all kind of like doing that thing where like pretending to take pictures or like just doing some kind of celebration, that'd be one thing. Or even if it was just all of them standing on the logo and waving to the Titans, I think that would have been okay. But like, there were guys like laying on the logo. There were guys like stomping on the logo. There were guys like flipping off the other team. There were guys waving. Like, it was a collective taunt. I loved it, and I absolutely like. I like the swagger, and I think they should have taken the penalty. I 100% like the game wasn't over, but the game was basically over at that point. And I'm okay with them taking the penalty because of that circumstance. But I've evolved on my position. Initially, I was saying what you were saying, but now watching it again, and maybe we'll try and throw it up on Twitter. There was a lot going on that, on there in terms of taunting, but you know what? That's what the Titans deserve. You know, there was a point in the game where Malcolm Butler directly flipped off Lamar Jackson during this game during an exchange. Like, that kind of stuff is just not necessary. And the Titans are one of the whiniest teams in the league, and I don't feel bad for them at all.
Yeah, I mean, it stems from the head coach. He's a whiny head coach. He was complaining after the game about the officiating when the officials were on his side throughout the entire game. Maybe he didn't notice, but all the things that were like close went his team's way. He was complaining about there should have been a DPI against Peters on that interception. That's ridiculous. That was nothing close to an interception or a defensive pass interference. Like, give me a break. Like, that was, I don't know. Vrabel needs to shut up. And he's been a punk this entire time. And I don't really care to say much more about it, but I think anytime you have leadership that acts that way, it trickles down to their players. And I think that's apparent.
Yeah. So, let's talk a little bit about the offense. I think we've already kind of previewed it, but I think there are a couple individual things that are worth kind of digging into overall as a result of this game. And, you know, one of them I mentioned right up at the top, which was connected a little bit more towards kind of stopping the run and this perception that it seemed like the Titans were stopping the run. And certainly from the perspective of between the hashes or between the tackles, they were stuffing the run. I thought that they did a pretty good job. But at the same time, the Titans were essentially selling out to those gaps on every single one of those plays. And their eyes were 100% locked into the backfield. And look, the Titans deserve some credit here, right? Like, they were making sure that, like, there were plays where defensive linemen were coming off their linemen. And we've seen the Ravens actually do this kind of thing sometimes, where the defensive linemen were actually disengaging from the offensive linemen and waiting and watching what was happening in the backfield before they made a move. And I'm interested to see whether other teams in the league are going to replicate this. When the Ravens ran some of that, like, counter bash, like the double offensive lineman pull plays, instead of having the Titans chase the play on the backside and eliminate the option for for the running back to basically kind of get tracked down by the defensive lineman, they actually had them stay in their spot. So the two guys would pull off, and essentially the defensive lineman just stood there and stood pat and watched the exchange, explicitly watched the exchange between Lamar and the running back, and then made a decision based on what was happening with the ball. And it seemed like, to me, some of the effectiveness, and the Titans, again, weren't perfect on this. I mean, if we look at the box score and you look at what the numbers were, the Ravens averaged 6.7 a carry. You could take out the Marquise Brown kind of carries because they were throws. I don't ever want to see the second one of those ever happen again.
I'm sorry.
Oh, my God. But Dobbins and Edwards put up 4.8 a carry. So I don't think that it was entirely ineffective. I think when they were trying to run up the middle, it was less effective. And I think that the Ravens needed to be more forceful about trying to get to the edges sometimes. They got coy about it. And there are times where you need to be determined to get to the outside edge, but just like willing to like shimmy your shoulders or make it seem like you're going to cut it up. But really, you're just going all the way to the edge the whole way. It seemed like the Ravens still, even later in the game, at times were trying to attack in the middle. And it just wasn't there. And that's what the Titans decided they were going to take away. And eventually the Ravens just got to the edge and they got to the flats and they attacked them that way. And the Titans really didn't have an answer.
Yeah, I think anytime you run the kind of read option style offense that the Ravens do. I'm not sure how many true reads they still have in their offense. It's not a lot, but it's definitely happening every once in a while. There's definitely the ability to make the wrong read, and sometimes there's also the ability of the back or the quarterback in this instance to kind of take the wrong gap. And I think we saw that a couple of times in this game. I saw at least one that Dobbins had where he cut back inside where he could have gotten the edge. He had a blocker out in front of him on the edge, and instead he kind of like took it inside lane and picked up like 3 or 4 yards. If he'd gone outside, he probably would have picked up 10 to 15 yards. I think, you know, Jackson might have had a couple plays like that as well. That's something that, you know, you're not going to be 100% on. Like, you're not going to get the right gap every single time in this type of a scheme. And it's because of the way that the play is designed that you have options. You have different ways you can take the ball. But in general, when the Ravens did get the edge, they were very effective. You know, Dobbins did have a couple of nice 10, 11-yard runs off the edge. You know, Gus Edwards hit the edge a couple of times. Jackson himself had a few nice chunk gains on some quarterback keepers. Designed runs for him that he was able to pick up, you know, 15, 20, 25 yards. And, you know, if we're talking about, you know, how well the offense played, I think we have to start with Lamar Jackson, right? You know, I mentioned earlier his passing numbers weren't that incredible, but his running numbers, 16 carries for 136 yards, that's game-breaking. You know, obviously the touchdown, you know, Harbaugh after the game said it was the most impressive quarterback run he's ever seen. And like, when I thought about that, I thought that's kind of hyperbolic. And you could think back to maybe like Colin Kaepernick back in his prime when he was tearing apart like Green Bay, you saw some of that, but that was more of beating one or two players and just having an open field. In this play, Lamar Jackson essentially beat the entire Titans defense. It was literally the entire defense. He escaped their pass rush, which was four guys. He beat one guy in the open field to pick up the first down. And then he just ran past their entire secondary. I think if you know those dots things where you can watch like the guys as dots and like the little video animation, watch that play on the dots. It's amazing. You see the entire defense look like they have a shot at him, but none of them could get him. And he beat everybody to that pylon. It was one of the most impressive runs, not just by a quarterback, but by any player I've ever seen. It was an amazing play. Going back and rewatching that a couple times over, I was like amazed that he was able to score a touchdown on that. It was incredible.
Yeah, there were, you know, I thought Lamar played a phenomenal game. You know, he had a couple big runs that you just talked about. I think, you know, the one knock I would put on him beyond the Boykin interception, and we can talk about that. That was just a bad throw by Lamar. He had him, they had it set up. It was one-on-one. It reminded me of the Duvernay play in the prior Titans game. I don't know what it is. The Titans must have some kind of like voodoo thing out for Lamar, because it just seems like he makes some boneheaded decisions against them from time to time. But there were a few moments where it felt like Lamar was a little bit of the first half Lamar and a little bit of less of the second half Lamar in this game, where he didn't break the pocket quite as fast as I thought he should have. And the Titans were able to collapse the pocket a little bit more and contain him a little bit more. And if he would have tried to break out a little bit sooner, I think that there would have been more there or more pressure. The Titans did a pretty good job of kind of running a contain-ish kind of pass rush and kind of keeping him to the interior. But all in all, yeah, I mean, Lamar and the running game were absolutely dynamic again. 236 yards on the ground. And you got to believe that Mike Vrabel did not want to let Lamar have 135 rushing yards. So, and that 16 had two kneels in there. I think that's actually 14 carries for 138 yards, if we want to kind of spin that around a little bit. So all in all, you know, a phenomenal game from them. You know, my first takeaway after finishing watching the game was the offensive line didn't play that well. And after and the five sacks, you look at the box score and it's like, oh, five sacks. Yeah, they didn't play as well. And that two of them were super memorable, right? Because one was in the red zone. And in the one in the red zone, Powers and McCarty just both got schooled. Like, I don't know what happened, but Powers gets pushed all the way back up into the pocket. And that would have been okay if McCarty also wouldn't have gotten pushed back into the pocket. But if one of those guys could have held their block, then they would have been fine on that play. And then the other was the one where Lamar just held the ball forever and he didn't try and break the pocket and he didn't try and kind of, he was looking downfield. Nobody was there. And that was one of the ones where I think he should have broken the pocket a little bit sooner. But after kind of second review, it seemed like the offensive line played fine. It was just that the Titans kept 7 or 8 or 9 guys in and around the box on every play. And after like, it seemed like if it was a defensive back that was either like on a spy or whatever, there was kind of like a 1 or 2 count. And at a certain point, his job was also to blitz at that point, like be a delayed blitzer and like just pop the bubble on the pocket and try and force Lamar to do something and not let him set something up. And I think that's where some of the rushing and the setup comes. And so I'll be also interested to see if Buffalo tries to replicate any of that action.
Yeah, I think that's something that a lot of teams are probably going to do. I think it's a smart way of defending Lamar is having that guy sit there as a spy, and then if he doesn't have an immediate, you know, scramble, just kind of go in there and try and pressure him. You know, not so different from like a green dog blitz or something like that. I think that's a good way, and it also kind of throws off the timing of the quarterback too, because he might not be expecting that late pressure. So that's something that's definitely, I think, that you're going to want to account for moving forward. But I think you're right to, you know, kind of quibble a little bit with Lamar Jackson. I think his pocket movement could have been better in this game. He probably could have made a few decisions getting rid of the ball earlier, maybe scrambling a little earlier. But you know, some of those issues came on the, I guess it was that 2-minute drill where, I don't know, for whatever reason, he seemed to want to attack downfield passing the ball instead of using his legs. And I don't know, without the all 22 out, it's hard to really see what the coverage was like downfield or whether he had running lanes or not for sure. But I think for the most part, he did play a really good game. And I think that, you know, if this is the kind of floor that we're going to get from him moving forward, I think it's going to be a pretty impressive down the stretch, Lamar Jackson that we're going to see.
Yeah, I just think he needs to move on from some of his keys a little bit sooner. And if he's able to do that, I think they'll be in fine shape. But the Ravens finally put together, I think, a competent passing attack for a team that kind of muddles the middle of the field like that. We saw a lot of outs. We saw like those quick swing passes when the cornerbacks weren't playing tight coverage to Hollywood and a couple others. We saw the flat passes to Ricard. We saw some of those to Andrews as well. That forces the defenders to come down a little bit. It forces the defenders to widen out a little bit. The Titans didn't adjust, or they continued to let them have that in the flat, and the Ravens rode it all the way down the field to start the second half. And started out kind of riding it again on the drive right after that, did it twice, had a 3rd and 2 or 3rd and 3 and decided to try and run up the middle. And it's like, to me, like, I get that they were trying to set that up, but at some point you have to force the other team to show you that they've adjusted the defense. And obviously to that point, I don't think the Titans had, but those quick outs, the flats, like that kind of passing action being the counter move that the Ravens have to teams packing the box, that could be the difference maker between this team kind of getting bounced in a game that a couple things go the wrong way against them in the next few rounds of the playoffs, or them winning the Super Bowl, to me.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, and that's one of the things that I really liked about this game was it seemed like that was a distinct and direct adjustment that Greg Roman made, especially in the second half, was taking advantage of the way that the Chiefs were defending the Ravens offense, and they were allowing that space to be basically unoccupied. And
the Chiefs, especially getting ahead of yourself there, champ.
Sorry. The Titans. And I think, you know, I mean, that's something we've seen other teams do as well. And the Ravens haven't really taken advantage of it in the past. And for whatever reason, you know, Roman kind of didn't or wasn't so stubborn in this game that he was like, I am going to just take what the defense is giving me here. And we're going to pick up, you know, 5, 6, sometimes 10, 11 yards on these, you know, these simple out passes, whether it's to Hollywood or to Patrick Ricard or to Mark Andrews. And thank you. And we'll get you on the next play. And when you have that as an option, it really is forcing the defense to defend the entire field. And if they do that, the Ravens have, you know, the scheme and the playmakers to take advantage of you one way or the other. So either the defense is going to try and take away the run and pack the box like the Titans did, or they're going to have to, you know, cover the entire field, and you can't really do both. And if the Ravens can spread out teams and then run at them, then great, do that. I think that's a great way of attacking a defense if they want to, you know, use a light box and only play, you know, like 6 or 7 people in there, then you can run on them. And I think that's something that the Ravens can do. And that, then they also show that they can pass as well. So I think this is really a great sign for the future. I think the Ravens are going to continue, hopefully, to use this type of approach and not be so predictable on first down. And realize that, you know, a pass play to Patrick Ricard is for 10 yards is just as good, if not better, than a run to Mark or to J.K. Dobbins. And as long as you're able to, you know, be in positive down distance, no matter how you get there, I think that's all that matters.
Two quibbles on my part with Greg Roman this week. One, I don't think that they ran enough kind of motion action in this game to simulate side-to-side stress. So I think one of the things that worked really well the last 5 weeks was this kind of like, it could go either way, motion kind of on offense being a little bit more spread out and kind of forcing the issue pre-snap to like, not only are you giving people kind of, not only are you putting them into conflict once the play is operating, but you're putting them into play before you're putting them in conflict before the play is operating. We didn't see as much of that. Obviously, the orbit play to Hollywood that was the rushes, which really should have just been catches, that gave us all heart attacks on the second one where it almost just flung into the end zone off of Hollywood's helmet. But, you know, even beyond like I'm going to pause here for a second. Why not make that a forward pass? Like, what about that play necessitates that being a backwards pass? I guess only if you're setting it up for Hollywood to throw a pass down the field to someone else in a future game. Otherwise, just throw the ball, like, make it, like, let him get a running start and let it be a forward pass.
Well, I think that is the thing. If you catch him as a lateral, I guess technically that's what it is a lateral, you can have him going full speed when he catches it. So you have him like just as like a bolt up the line on the outside, catching it in stride, as opposed to standing there at the line of scrimmage, catching it as a forward pass, and then having to accelerate. So you have him in space with momentum. And I think to a certain extent that worked both times it was used, but it was still terrifying, especially inside the 10, your own 10. That play, I was aghast after that play. I was like, oh my God, you actually ran that play in this situation. And it kind of worked, I guess. It was like a 5-yard pickup, but please don't do that again.
Right. So anyway, getting back to it, I'd love to see them put more conflict on the defense there. You know, maybe the Ravens thought that it just wouldn't be created because the Titans keep too many people in the box, but I don't know that I agree with that. And it felt like they were going a little heavier with their personnel earlier in the game, but kind of adjusted quickly. And again, we don't really know because those drives got short-circuited so quickly. So one, I want to see more kind of side-to-side conflict. Two, can we please get rid of the 5 wide plays from this team? Like I'm almost positive that the sacks, both of the sacks that happened, were out of those five wide sets. It's just like take those out of the playbook. Like just take them out of the playbook. There's no reason. At a minimum, if you want to run that, put Dobbins on the outside and put him at least in motion so he's in the backfield when you're snapping the ball. They were a failure again this week. They've been a failure all year this year. I know they worked last year. They're not working this year because we don't have the offensive line for it. Greg Roman, you just got to let it go, man.
Yeah, I was going to say, it's kind of wild because the Ravens were so effective out of empty last year, like incredibly so. And this year, it's been the complete reverse. Like I think every single time they went empty in this game, it was a bad play for them. I don't think there was any successful plays out of that alignment. So yeah, I completely agree. And one of the things that I really liked about this game as well was just how much they used play action. It seemed like, you know, almost like at least half of the dropbacks were on play action. And that's just exactly what you should be doing when your team is run heavy as the Ravens, and a team that is going to demand teams to respect their run. Just having those, you know, whatever half step or half second that you freeze the linebackers or make them take a false step, that gives you the advantage every single time. It doesn't really affect the cadence so much because they don't do a really true play action where they, you know, have the quarterback turn his back to the defense. So Jackson can, you know, show the ball and give the look of a play action, considering the way the Ravens run the ball, and still have his eyes down the field and know where he wants to go with it. So I think that's something that they should use at least half the time, if not more.
Yeah. And these early down passes to Hollywood were a success. And, you know, if there's a game ball beyond Lamar on the offense that needs to be given out, I think Ricard is in the conversation for that because he added a dynamic there and just like was really physical in that process. But it goes to Marquise Brown. I mean, in reality, he had 9 catches for 130 yards. He didn't have a touchdown, but he had a huge influence on this game. He was a guy that the Titans were determined to kind of let be the guy to beat them in those situations. If you looked at on the drop from the Mark Andrews on the first drive, it's like Mark Andrews is running kind of like the skinny post, and Brown is running the post behind him, and he is wide. Yep. Freaking open.
And
it was obvious. I think it's not just obvious. It won't just be the Titans that are going to play tighter to Andrews than they are to anybody else. And so like double post, high low action between Andrews and Brown should be a staple. Brown has earned the trust of Jackson. They seem to be in sync. They were in sync on that deep pass when they get the one-on-one. I think it's a big step for Hollywood overall. It's a big step for the Ravens' confidence and what they have in the wide receiver position. But most of all, it was just a really great game from him this week.
Yeah, and that fade pass to Brown that you mentioned, that was a money pass, and it was a great reception. I think that was that also a first down? I think that was a play action pass on first down. No, I think it was second down. Sorry, but you know, those are the kind of plays that you want to see the Ravens take. Take those kind of shots like 3-4 times a game, because especially if you can do like kind of like a corner or like a slot fade, you know, out of the slot, Brown is going to be open on that play. Like that, he can create that separation. Jackson has demonstrated the accuracy to be able to make those throws pretty consistently. He gets a little bit more in trouble when the ball is more like 40 yards down the field. That's when he starts to see some of those interceptions show up in the stat book. But like in the, I would say the 15 to 30 yard range, he's been really accurate. And I think that's somewhere that you want to see him attacking defenses more and more.
Yeah. So, you know, I think that's a pretty good wrap on this week's game, but we're going to take a look ahead to Buffalo, try and take a look at kind of what they've done to some of these other teams, maybe take a look back at their game against Baltimore last year, and see if we can get some analysis out on this upcoming game. But I'm excited that we get an extra week that we don't have to play the Chiefs. I think the Buffalo Bills are going to be a little softer on defense than the Titans were. I think they're going to be less prepared to defend kind of what this team is trying to do. If I recall from last year, though, they have good safeties and they play them in the box a lot, and they use that to try and take Lamar away. So maybe it will be similar looks in terms of what we're going to see for Buffalo. We're going to need to see a similar offensive game plan where they're going to have a lot of guys in and around the line of scrimmage to try and take that away.
Yeah, I think Buffalo does have a slightly better defense than the Titans, especially in the secondary. They have some really good players in the secondary. You know, starts with Tre'Davious White, but they have a couple of really good safeties as well. And then you know they've good linebackers and they have a good defensive line too. Like they're not a kind of rollover defense like the Titans are. And Titans have been struggling on defense all year. I think everybody who's followed the NFL closely is aware of that. So I think the Ravens going out and putting up 400 yards of offense and you know the 6.3 yards per play isn't a huge surprise. I think the biggest surprise from this game was how the Ravens handled the Titans offense, which is also one of the best in the NFL. So looking, you know, we'll talk more about the Buffalo game, but you know, obviously the Bills had a tremendous offense this year behind Josh Allen. I think one of the things I want to take a look at is how he's performed against better defenses, especially defenses that can you know, show him some different looks in coverage and get some pressure in his face. I think that's where he's actually played some of his more or least impressive games. So I think the Ravens might, you know, be able to provide a fairly unique set of you know different types of looks that than what he's seen this year. So I think it's going to be a great game. Obviously, there's going to be the Allen Jackson comparison as the two quarterbacks taken from the same draft class. So I think we can take a look at that comparison as well. So there's some fun things that we're gonna bring up over there at Film Study Baltimore Situation Room.
Yeah, so you know, make sure to check out at Ravens or at Film Study Ravens. That's Ken. He does an awesome job at his website. He's got some great articles about you know, rating the offensive line, the defense, all kinds of good stuff, and great content from Kemi Cusick. So check him out. We're glad to be part of his site and be part of that. My co-host is at Gabe Fergie. I'm at BSL Jordan Cohen. We'll catch up with you guys about Buffalo soon.
Say goodbye to your credit card rewards. Greedy corporate mega stores, led by Walmart and Target, are pushing for a law in Congress to take away your hard-earned cash back and travel points to line their pockets. The Durbin-Marshall credit card bill would enact harmful credit card routing mandates that would end credit card rewards as we know it. If you love your credit card rewards, tell your lawmakers, hands off my rewards. Tell them to oppose the Durbin-Marshall credit card bill.
Philip has just lost the respect of the youth league football team he coaches. He was asked what New England should do in the draft, and his answer was objectively terrible. The Athletic just wrote a great article about this, but Philip doesn't have the Athletic or the respect of a boisterous group of 11-year-olds who once looked up to him. Learn from Philip's error, get the Athletic, and get the info you need to speak draft fluently.
Springtime savings are in full bloom, all in the Kroger app. Buy one, get one free on flavorful, fresh Tyson chicken during our full line sale. Then mix or match during our 99-cent sale and get Kraft mac and cheese, Campbell's soup, or Bar-S Franks for 99 cents each when you buy five or more, all with your card. Shop these deals at your local Kroger today, or tap the screen now to download the Kroger app to save big today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Prices and product availability subject to change. Restrictions apply. See site for details.